following is a presentation of Crane's Chicago Business, delivered by your earbuds at WGN Radio.
I'm Amy Guth, and today on Crane's Daily Gist, Roosevelt and Robert Morris look to merge, while U of C and Loyola will shorten some MBA programs. But first, in an interview with Crane's political columnist Greg Hines, Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox talked about her priorities, her decision to downplay many shoplifting cases, and other issues. Today, I spoke with Hines about his analysis of their conversation. Greg, thanks for talking with me today. So yesterday you sat down and talked with Kim Fox. Tell me about that, if you would.
I did. I had a full hour with her. I appreciate her time, and it's the first really long interview that's comprehensive that she's done in a while. Kim Fox is a really iconic figure now. She's a reformer. She comes into an office that has had problems in a criminal justice system that is largely mistrusted by much of Chicago, particularly racial and ethnic minorities. But some people say she's gone too far the other way to try to compensate for the flaws in the office. And the question is, has she hit the right balance?
So what were some highlights of your conversation with her? The piece that you have at ChicagoBusiness.com kind of lays it out in bullet points, but to you, what sticks out about that conversation the most?
Well, the top line is that she's not about to apologize for anything she's done. She kind of doubles down. She won't talk about the O.C. Smollett case, which is now the subject of a special prosecutor's investigation. But, her body language suggests that she thinks she did the right thing in dropping those charges against him. All she would admit was that, I asked her any apologies, any second thoughts. She says, well, you always learn lessons in big cases. Okay. You can call that kind of a mini mea culpa. She also doesn't seem inclined to back off on instances in which the county and prosecutors no longer demand cash bail. That's been a real big reform thing. There's a lot of people out there who say that, we shouldn't be clogging up our court system with people who are having their lives ruined and their future jeopardized simply because they can't come up with a few hundred bucks in bail. Let's let them out. But when they let them out, they mostly let them out on electronic monitoring that controls where they're supposed to go and whatever. And there's a bit of a feud there about whether we're not letting out people who shouldn't be let out. According to Tom Dart, the county sheriff, what was a system that mostly had people accused of drug offenses, people who aren't violent, really, who aren't endangering anybody but themselves. Those used to be most of it, but now we're letting out mostly people who are accused of violent crimes, even some murders in one case. And I asked Fox about that, and she wouldn't say too much, except that, we don't make the decision. We merely recommend to the judges. So it's your fault, Tim Evans, the chief judge of Cook County. You'll hear a lot more about that, I think, in the campaign to come.
The comment she made to you that the system needs to be carefully monitored kind of seems like a tell of a wait and see, maybe that she herself is not totally confident in that move.
Yeah, I think that's a fair interpretation of what she said, Amy. I've also heard from people at City Hall that the tool they use to judge the severity of the offense and whether the person can be let out on electronic monitoring or needs to be locked up in place of bail may need a little change, a little refinement. Although I would add that even Fox made the point that if you go back to the traditional bail system, a lot of bad people get out too. She said a couple of cases. Officer Van Dyke, a notorious shooting here not too long ago, was let out on bail and later convicted. So the bail system isn't perfect either.
Right. It's about access to capital more than anything else. The other issue that seemed to come up in your conversation that I thought was really interesting was one involving retail theft. That's kind of an interesting one because there's so many issues to talk about that face our city in a given day that we don't hear as much about that one. But nonetheless, that came up in a really interesting way with her.
Yeah, her argument and the argument of a lot of people on the political left is that the system is so stacked now against poor people and minority people who get disproportionately dragged into the system that it, in effect, has become racist. I think she buys into that, at least to some extent. So she has kind of made an executive decision. Prosecutors have a lot of authority. She's kind of decided that in the cases of retail theft, which most of us know as shoplifting, the standard for charging somebody with a felony that her office will file will not be a value of goods of $300, which is what Illinois law says, but $1,000. which is a pretty big difference. She says that's consistent with what exists in other states, that the $300 standard is too low, and that you know, somebody shouldn't have their life ruined because they tried to pinch a pair of tennis shoes or something like that. But the Illinois Retail Merchants Association, which represents the store, says this is having a really negative effect on their members. That essentially, police now feel that prosecutors don't have their backs, so they're not going to arrest anybody. And as a result, that losses that lots of stores are having to run up because merchandise is walking away are getting bigger and bigger, a lot bigger. She doesn't quite agree with that. She says, well, if they have some specifics, they can come in and talk. But I predict you'll be hearing more about this one, too, in the election to come, because she, like I said, she's kind of made an executive-level decision to raise the standard for prosecution above the level generally recommended in state law.
More generally, you seem to talk with her a bit about convictions and conviction rates. What stands out to you from that point of the conversation?
Her general response to this, aren't you being too soft on the bad guys, which is essentially what she's being accused of. Aren't you, in effect, favoring certain kinds of people? Her response to that is, hey, if that's true, how come my conviction rate has gone up? And how come the crime rate in the city has gone down? She says, hey, we're just focusing our resources on the stuff people really care about, which is violent crime, and not this, you know, little penny-ante stuff like somebody smoking a joint on a corner or somebody who swiped a couple cans of pop from a store. Let's focus on the stuff people really care about. And she claimed that her office, for trials that go to a judge, they're known as bench trials, that the conviction rate on felony cases has gone up 30 percentage points since her predecessor, Anita Alvarez. You know, that's pretty big increase. It means a lot more, presumably, really bad guys are going away. If you look at the statistics that are on her website, though, which is something else she bragged about, that she is much more transparent, she did have an increase last year of more than 30 points from what it was under Alvarez, but it's dropped back considerably this year in the first 7 or 8 months of the year, which raises the question of, was last year kind of a fluke or one time, or is this year a fluke? We don't know. You know, unfortunately, and when you get into battles of statistics, it becomes a little hard to figure it out because everybody throws their different numbers back. Bottom line is, she seems to have made some progress there, and there's some merit to her argument, but how much is still in debate.
Yeah, what stood out to you, or what stood out as most surprising to you when speaking with her?
She's really sincere in what she believes. I don't think this is a surprise, but you know, we live in a very cynical era when there's all kinds of people. You know, we're all scrutinizing our public officials' motives and whatever. And there are definitely some people out there who don't like this prosecutor and who really think that she's trying to favor certain racial groups to the disadvantage of others. I don't think she sees it that way, and she comes across, frankly, kind of convincing that she's trying to pursue her vision of justice, which is what the prosecutor's all about. It's achieving justice for crime victims and for people involved in crime. The question we all will have to decide in the upcoming election is whether her vision is right and whether her implementation has been right. But I don't think you can challenge her sincerity here. This woman appears to be doing what she thinks is right.
Well, thanks so much for talking about this meeting with her today.
My pleasure.
Find Greg Hines' column about his sit-down with Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox at chicagobusiness.com. Coming up, the state issues long-awaited applications for new cannabis shops, its biggest step yet in its promise to make the marijuana business more diverse. We'll talk about that and other stories right after this word from our sponsor. At Wintrust, there's no one-size-fits-all solution because there's no one-size-fits-all business. They come in different sizes, in different industries, and with different needs. You won't get cookie-cutter services based on your size. Wintrust provides personalized focus no matter what kind of business you run. Whether you're looking for deposit accounts, lending options, or treasury management solutions, Wintrust bankers are prepared to meet your business where you are and help you get where you want to be. Find out more at Wintrust.com. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Roosevelt University said today that it's applied with the Higher Learning Commission to absorb its South Loop neighbor, Robert Morris University. Roosevelt said in a statement that the Roosevelt University name will be preserved and Robert Morris's students will be added to Roosevelt students, with the combined university retaining a Robert Morris experiential college. Combining the two small private schools would give both a lot more security at a time when shrinking enrollments at smaller schools around the nation have put pressure on their finances. While Roosevelt may be the stronger neither of the two schools, it's reported operating deficits for the past 5 years as student enrollment and tuition revenue have declined. In other education news, U of C and Loyola will shorten some MBA programs, a new approach to grad students seeking less expensive outlays. U of C next year will give students seeking joint law business degrees a new option to complete the graduate program in 3 years as opposed to the typical four. The university said the four-year program will continue to be available for those interested in more specialized areas, suggesting it expects many students seeking the traditional coursework will opt for the shorter and less expensive alternative. The school hasn't decided how much the three-year alternative will cost. The current four-year program's list price is just under $300K, which includes internships. And U of C is not the only institution retooling its MBA approach. Loyola's Quinlan School of Business also announced today that it's, quote, radically redesigning its MBA program for next year, including letting students complete the program in 1 year, as opposed to 18 months to 2 years, and also offering hybrid learning forms, with some learning on campus and some online. The school also said it's changing the curriculum to provide more classes in areas like data-driven decision strategy, consulting, and ethics, with less focus on traditional classes like marketing and accounting. Many of its new classes will also be cross-disciplinary, defying longtime MBA labels, the school also said. Part of the reason the specialized master's programs may be more popular is that they usually require fewer credit hours because many of the students have already completed their core business classes. That decreases the price tag on the degree, too. Quinlan's list price for the 18-course MBA is just over $80,000. The shorter 12-course, one-year MBA program, designed with business undergrads in mind, will cost $54,000. Jump Capital has raised a new $200 million fund, one of the largest venture capital pools in Chicago. Jump was started in 2012, backed by the founders of Jump Trading, one of the city's largest and most successful high-speed trading firms. The new fund has 91 outside investors. Jump has made 61 investments and exited 10 of them, including Champion Healthcare Technologies, a medical software company. Among its Chicago deals are data analytics provider 4C Insights, artificial intelligence company Narrative Science, education tech company Bench Prep, cybersecurity company Now Secure, parking app provider Arrive, which is the company formerly known as ParkWiz, compliance software maker Logigate, and digital media company Upshow. The firm primarily makes investments of $4 to $10 million in companies with $1 to $5 million in revenue, although the founders told Cranes it's also planning to do more large later-stage growth equity deals in the future. In one final story for today, the state of Illinois took the biggest step yet in its promise to make the marijuana business more diverse, opening the application process for 75 new dispensary licenses that'll be issued next year. People who want to sell pot for recreational use must deliver their applications between December 10th and January 2nd. The licenses will be awarded in May. Along with publishing the application guidelines, the state defined the places that qualify as, quote, disproportionately impacted areas that are economically disadvantaged and have been affected by high rates of arrest, conviction, and incarceration for marijuana violations. The designation is key to the social equity provisions of the state law that are designed to give people in low-income neighborhoods hard hit during the war on drugs era a chance to share in the business opportunities created by legalization. One major criticism of the state's medical marijuana program, which passed in 2013, was that it was dominated by a handful of companies run by white men and backed by wealthy investors. Companies with medical marijuana licenses now are automatically eligible for recreational use licenses. They'll be the backbone of the recreational use industry that's in place when the consumer marijuana sales become legal on January 1st. But new licenses to be issued by May 1st will offer the first chance to broaden the playing field. Under the law, out of 250 possible points, social equity applicants will get 25 points, and social equity applicants pay a $2,500 application fee, or half the normal fee. You can read more about qualifications for social equity status and find a link to the state's interactive map of disproportionately impacted areas, which covers vast swaths of the city and suburbs, at chicagobusiness.com. But until tomorrow, that's all for Crane's Daily Gist. Thanks so much to producer Haima Black, as well as to today's guest, Greg Hines. Find breaking business news, special reports, data, and tons more at chicagobusiness.com. And find hashtag Crane's Daily Gist on Twitter. And let's continue the conversation about these and other business stories most on your mind. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you right back here tomorrow.